this is Matthew Tombers, and you're listening to WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the community theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Leah Bertucci of Ridgewood, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Hello there, te escondes, que cuando te escribo no me respondes, dime si quieres bailar conmigo hasta que te enamores, ¿cuándo, hasta cuándo?
Seguirme el paso, ya lo tengo. Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Jada. I'm 12 and turning 13 in a month and a little bit more than a month. So I'm just going to let you know that I'm getting almost 13. Hooray! And then I'll say I'm a teenager.
I'm Adalia, and I just turned 11 in August, and I live in Ghent, New York.
My name is Fatia. I'm 9 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. And we're excited to have Fatia back after a little bit of a break, and Adalia here for her first show. So, yay! Fun to have you both here. And Jada, too, of course.
Yay!
So, who wants to start us off today? Do you want to go, Jada?
Yes.
Great.
Actually, my mom got me a copy of Pride and Prejudice. And even though I love this, I can, like, understand the basic storyline. For some reason, Jane Austen's harder for me to understand than Shakespeare. I don't know how that works or why that happens, but it's true. I don't understand the entire storyline. Maybe it's because I learned Shakespeare like during school or something, so I can understand it. I understand like the threadbare plot that's going on. Like I can't understand most of the dialogue and stuff. So it's very interesting. I've gotten pretty far in the book, but it feels, since I can't really understand it, it feels like I've gone through 160 pages of a whole lot of nothing. So. And it's a thick book.
Yeah, it sounds like a challenge. Is it specific words that are throwing you, or the way that the words are strung together, or both?
Both of them. Like, it's just the way that they're talking and stuff. I don't know. It's just Shakespeare's easier for me to understand for some reason.
I wonder if you found...
Jane Austen wasn't written, like, after, way after Shakespeare's time. And... we're also looking into other books by them. And so I just want to get all the classics in and stuff, you know, so that I will be a very advanced reading person.
Goals right there. I feel like sometimes, I think I did this with Shakespeare sometimes when I was younger, because I really liked Shakespeare, but it was a challenge to read it. That sometimes if I could find a thing where it explained the chapters, like a chapter summary, because then I could get a sense of what it was about, like what was happening, and then I could read it, and it made it easier to like read through the challenging writing and to make sense of it too. So I wonder if something like that could help.
Yeah, I probably should get one of those. I bet they have it somewhere.
Yeah, I've never read Jane Austen, and she's been on my to read list forever. Well, not forever, probably since I was a teen. That feels like forever ago.
When there's that one author that you really want to read, or you don't have the time for it, you always find another book. That's when it feels like forever.
Well, yeah, the problem with books and the blessing of books is that they keep making more of them. And so there's more and more books added to my to-read pile every day. And
yeah.
Hard to keep up.
I was into The Keeper of the Lost Cities for a while, but then when I got to like the sixth book, I'm like, she's making more. Like, I'm going to have to keep buying this. So I'm just like, nope, I'm going to throw this into the pile of stuff I'm never going to read again, along with Wings of Fire. Because there are too many books. I jumped from the third book to, like, I think one of the last books in the series. And so my mind is just trying desperately to fill in the blanks. So I'm also throwing that into the pile of stuff that I'm never going to read again.
I went through, the whole Percy Jackson series. And I was on the next series, which is The Heroes of Olympus. And I kind of just got bored. I mean, it's when you make too many books, I think. I mean, when you make so many books, I won't say too many. It just, it's kind of the same plot, just over again. But I loved it while I was reading it in the beginning. It just, I think I just lost interest. And I knew
The problem with me for book series like that is the suspense. I can't handle the suspense. So I read the one book, and then I read the second book in the series, and then I'm like, oh, what the heck? And then I read six books ahead in the series, like, one random line until I found what I was looking for, and then I'm like, okay, everything's just fixed. I don't need to worry about anything anymore. I'm not going to worry myself over this because suspense is good when I don't know that there are only a few books to read through. When there's more than that, I cannot do it. It is too much for me. That's why the Harry Potter series is nice. 7 books and then some extra ones.
Yeah, I love those, but I'm kind of over that phase now. I just read this book, and this is not the book I'm going to talk about, but I haven't been reading that many books like recently because I've been pretty busy. But I did read this book for school called Fever, and Fever, I forget.
It's Laurie Hall Sanderson?
Is it that one? Yeah.
And it was historic fiction?
Yeah. And I like historical fiction, and it was really good. But so I definitely would recommend that to any 10, 11, 9-year-olds out there. 9, 10, 11-year-olds out there. But I took my favorite book, When You Reach Me by Rebecca Stead, because I love that book. And I think it's just really nice. And I mean, I like how she wraps everything together and how everything, you know, means something and how she travels back and forth in time. It's really cool. And like with all of her books, really, she does this and it's super cool. And so she's a really good writer, I think. It's about a girl who lives in New York City, and she starts receiving these mysterious notes, and they say strange things that in the end, like, end up happening in the future. And she realizes I won't tell what the end is like, but they happen in the end, and it's really weird, and it's all about her trying to figure out who the notes are from. So it's really good. Recommend that.
It sounds really good. I still haven't read that one either. There's a program that sometimes we participate in called Battle of the Books, and that was a Battle of the Books title, I think maybe like 5 years ago or something, but the readers all really enjoyed it for that.
Cool.
Interestingly enough, I also have a book by Rebecca Stead to talk about today, and I haven't finished it yet. It just came out at the end of August, and I'm listening to the audiobook for this one. And it's a book that Rebecca Stead wrote with another popular author named Wendy Maas. And
love Wendy Maas.
Yeah. I don't think I've read anything by her either, but I might be forgetting something. But I'm always curious when authors write together how they split up the labor of writing a story. But I haven't looked into that. Sometimes you can find that info in like interviews online.
Yeah.
But I haven't dug in yet because I wanted to finish the book first. But the book's called The Lost Library. It's a middle grade chapter book, and it's told from different perspectives. There's a few main characters. So there is a boy named Evan, and there is a cat named Mortimer, and then there's a ghost librarian, and I'm blanking on the ghost librarian's name, but the story all centers around a little free library that shows up in this town. And there is an orange cat named Mortimer that basically like hangs out at the little free library all the time. And then there's also some mouse characters too as part of Mortimer's story. But Evan discovers this little free library and gets some books from it. And when he brings them home, he realizes that they're like old library books, and they're all from a library in the town where he lives, which doesn't have a library. And at one point he realizes that some of the books that he checked out also have his dad's name on them as the last borrower. Cause back in the day, libraries used to have people like sign out the books, like their name would be on a little card, and that's how they would keep track of who had them. We don't do that anymore. But anyways, so he figures out that his dad was a borrower on his cards too. And then you also meet a ghost librarian who is living in the House of History in town, which is a historical building. And so Evan is trying to figure out the story behind this library and this little free library. Like, why is there no longer a library? And who put up this little free library? Where did these books come from? What's his dad's connection to it? And it hasn't quite connected this part, but Evan's dad is a pest control person. So he takes care of like mice, which there are mice characters in this book, so I'm curious if there's going to be some connection specific with them. But I thought it was interesting that his dad takes care of mice using like have a heart trap kind of things where he brings them elsewhere so he doesn't kill them, which I've never heard of a pest control place that does that, which is pretty nice. But yeah, so far it's really interesting. It's like a, it's got like this mysterious element, but it's not like a, not like a scary or high stakes mystery. It's just like a curiosity mystery. And I like how it jumps between the different characters and also how different all the characters are. So there's like a living human boy, and then there's a ghost librarian who I think, I forget if they mentioned their age, but I think they're pretty young. Like maybe they're either a teen or a very young adult. And then there's the cat. So it's like all very different perspectives that we're hearing and sides of this story. And I'm curious to see how they all come together. But so far it's very good. So that's The Lost Library, and it's by Rebecca Stead and Wendy Moss.
I just have a question about that, but because it sounds very intriguing, but is the librarian, is the ghost librarian dead or just kind of like a spirit?
Well, they are dead because they're ghosts. But yeah, I guess I don't know. I guess it's not too much of a spoiler, but Evan finds out pretty early on that there had been a fire at the library and knows that there were some deaths involved, but doesn't know the specifics of that yet. And as far as I've gotten, I'm about halfway into the book. So presumably the librarian that is hanging out at the House of History was working at the time of the fire and did not make it out.
Or maybe cramming for a school test.
Could be, but they were a librarian.
Like they were a librarian, but they had like a job there. And also because they work at the library, they're like, hey, I might as well cram for the school test. Dies.
It's true. They could have just been there as a librarian.
Studying kills you. No, just joking. Don't
oh, no. You mean they could have died a different way, not from the fire?
No, I mean like they could, like they were, like what if they were just like studying for this test that they were doing, like, and the library was letting them have a break and just, you know, read and stuff. Because of course everyone knows last minute panic is the best way to study, totally. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious if the books that are in the Little Free Library, are they either books that some people had checked out at the time of the fire so they didn't burn, or did they happen to be in a part of the library that didn't burn and so those are like the remaining books and that somebody decided to start a library? But it does seem like there's definitely a connection with the dad. So we'll have to see.
The dad
may tie everything together.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely check it out. It sounds good.
Yeah.
I have more.
It's got a very cute cover too.
Cool.
So Mortimer looks like a giant cat in the picture, but I think he's just a normal sized cat. Very cool. Sorry, Jada, what were you saying?
So I have, the cover is really cute. I just looked it up. So I have a book series to talk about that came out super awkwardly. I don't know why. So anyway, probably talked about this. Might as well talk about it again because I can't remember and it doesn't hurt because there might be new lists. So, Artemis Fowl. At first they thought it was about a girl and I actually saw a cover with Artemis Fowl as a girl and I don't know why, because Artemis Fowl is a boy in the series. I don't know what happened to make Artemis Fowl a girl in the cover or whatever. Anyway, I got into the series, I read the whole thing, and I just found it very interesting because I always admire books like these where they have a genius character, because if it's a really good book, then the author has to like really think ahead and think of extremely genius ways to solve things and stuff. And so that's what the author had to do here. And I just really, I know I could definitely not pull that off. It's like, it's very difficult. And yeah. And you can also kind of see that on the covers, the progression of the character. At first, he's like this snotty boy with like immaculate tie and hair. Well, kind of immaculate hair. Anyway, it's combed nicely. He has a nice suit and tie with the book. And then the next one, his like suit and tie is flapping in the wind and his hair gets, and you know, his stance gets more, less and less kind of composed throughout all of the series. Like his hair gets more disheveled, his stances get different. And then at the last book in the cover, he's like totally grown up. And his hair is a complete mess. He really should do something with it. And, you know, you can just say the change of the character on the covers of the book. And so I think that's really smart the way that they designed it.
But speaking of series that go on forever, did you read all of those? It looks like there is maybe
I read all of them.
Eight of them?
Yeah.
And then I think they started doing graphic novels. I don't know.
About like the little, about like siblings of Artemis Fowl that I want to read, but I feel like that's less important because it's just, you know, it's a side series. Artemis Fowl is like really the star of everything. And it also kind of switched perspectives. Also with a third person perspective, I think it would be very interesting if like there was an adaptation. There are graphic novel adaptations for the first four books, so those are worth checking out. But anyway, it would be interesting for me to have rewrite it so that the different perspectives are in first person. And see how that would go. Because, you know, want to know more about their thoughts. Get the personal stuff. I want to read all of it. Give me the juice, the gossip. Spill the tea. I want to know. So I feel like that would be very interesting, especially because the characters themselves are so diverse and there are always new ones. So if anyone ever did an adaptation of that, like, there is so much potential.
Yeah, I'm curious if they ever will or if they ever tried. Sometimes those things take a really long time to come together.
I feel like Percy Jackson, considering it's such a big hit, I feel like they should have definitely... Oh, well, I just remembered they did make like a movie about it.
Yeah. Really, I think they're making a show though now.
The movie wasn't very good. Yeah, I feel like making it like a TV show, like with seven episodes, and you know, like the episodes like as each book.
Whoa, that's
the movie was chaos.
That's a lot.
But
a lot of stuff to put in one episode.
Yeah, but since it's like visual, you don't need to tell every single detail.
True.
Like you can sum it up pretty much.
Although you could get all those different perspectives that you want.
Yeah, and you can sum up like two pages full of straight action as like a few seconds basically, because like someone explaining how they ran down the corridor and slammed into things and people flying this way and that, you can just do that in like a lot shorter time than it would take to read it. So that would be interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if the series comes out, first of all, because just because they're making something doesn't mean it's gonna come out.
Or but... seven seasons, I think there are seven books, or how many other books there are seasons, and then like breaking up the books themselves into like episodes. So then book one would be like Artemis Fowl, and then like different chapters in it. Like the chapters, like two or three chapters would be one episode, and then watch it like that. I feel like that would just be easier to binge.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I remember that I haven't seen it, but I've seen like pictures from it. But the movies, they tried like three different kinds, and they all were terrible. And they didn't use like the correct hair color on people and the correct eye color, things that are said over and over. And they couldn't seem to get an actor with like blonde hair instead of brown hair. It was interesting for some things. But yeah, I know I've talked about it with my friends who are all into it. But yeah, the movie definitely didn't turn out well. Well,
hopefully the series does a little better for fans out there. But before we wrap up for today, I want to make sure we hear from Fatia. She has a book to share today.
Yes, I do. And the book is called The Rescue to Save Captain America.
This is a book you wrote, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Rescue to Save Captain America by Fatia Jannat. Once upon a time, there lived Captain America. He found out that there was an abandoned castle, so he went in because he was very curious. And then when he went in, he never came back until one day a tiger found out that Captain America was trapped in a castle. So the tiger went in and tried saving him, but Captain America thought the tiger was going to eat him until the tiger turned into a baby cat. And then Captain America started to talk to the baby cat. Then there were drawing animals to fight. So the tiger fought the bad animals and rescued Captain America. So then he made the tiger his pet. The end.
Very nice. I love the origin story of how Captain America gets his cat. I feel like you wrote another book that was about superheroes and pets, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a different one.
Yeah, it's a different side of our favorite superheroes.
Yeah. There's that movie, what is it, Super Pets? I watched that on the airplane because it was like the only movie showing. And it's interesting too because it matches up all the pets with the superheroes and it's fun.
I never knew what that was about. So it's about the pets of superheroes that also have superpowers?
Yeah.
Got it. And are they the superheroes that we know? Like real life superhero, or real life, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, like Wonder Woman has a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks for sharing your story, Fatia. It's like a sneak peek at the world of Fatia Janat, author, illustrator, extraordinaire. Before they get published, we get to hear from her.
I feel like I can see Fatia Janat as a name of an author.
Yeah, it's a good author name.
Yeah.
Don't change your name, Fatia. It's great. Cool. Well, thank you all for sharing. We're just about out of time for today. We're going to say goodbye, but we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time, and we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then, happy reading.
Bye.
Somebody wear me to the fair? Will a lady pin me in her hair? Will a child find me by a stream? Was born. It blooms to spread love and joy, faith and hope to people for love.